Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, I'm going to call out a couple of you men. Derek, Joe, let's go. Two Joes. Come on. Well, good morning for those of you visiting with us. We've been visiting for the first time in a long time on the first Sunday of the month. A couple of things happened. One is we have real men sing real loud. I didn't say we sang good. I said we sang loud. And so the men will sing this morning, and then we'll have a go on with our service, and we'll also have a Middle East update a little bit later in the service as well this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege and opportunity to be here today, and do ask your blessings upon us. Thank you for the for our men, Lord, and willing to sing this time once a month, Lord. I pray that you help us as we minister to those who are here with us this morning. I pray that you minister to us today through the preaching of your word, the fellowship, the singing. Father, may we lift our hearts and voices toward heaven today. And Father, I pray that you'd work and move in our midst as only you can do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shake a hand, say hello to somebody.
Thank you so much again for being here this morning and for your generosity and giving your faithfulness unto the Lord. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and I'll ask Brother Kevin to ask God's blessings upon the tithes and offering this morning.
Heavenly Father, how gracious you are to even allow us to be here. Father, you ask for so little of us, of our bodies, and yet you have given so very much. So, Lord, as we give this small amount back to you, we ask, Lord, that you will bless it. You will use it for the glory of your kingdom here on this earth and forevermore. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Join me, if you would, as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, asking God to do what only He could do. And let me encourage you as you pray to ask the Lord to help you to put away some concerns and things that you may have or worries you may have that Lord may speak to you today through the service, whether it be the Middle East update, the special music to come, then, of course, the preaching of God's Word, that God would work in your heart. And ask God to help you to make a decision. I'm sorry, but I don't think there's anybody here that probably is not some type of decision you need to make in your life for your better, for Christ in your walk with Him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we approach thy throne this morning, we do come with open hearts and open minds and ears ready to hear. And Father, I pray that you'd help us today to put away the cares and concerns of the world, that our heart, our mind, our ears could be fully in tune to the teaching, to the music, and the preaching that will follow here shortly, that we will not only hear, but even make up our mind now that we are going to respond, we're going to obey, and we're going to do as the Lord directs and the Spirit of God speaks to us today through the preaching and music today. Father, I pray that you would be with our men. I pray that you'd help them, give them clarity of thought, mind, and speech in their daily walk in life. I pray that you'd put a hedge about them or protect them from sin. I pray that, again, that you would guard their tongue, their eyes, Lord, their ears from things that would maybe distract them from the things that are better in service for you. I pray that you would bless them in a mighty way and help them to be the heads and leadership they need to be in spiritually in their home. I pray that you would help them to be a godly example there as well as in your community and here at church. Father, I praise you and thank you for our ladies here at Harvest, that you would bless them as well, meet their needs as they strive to be those Proverbs 31 women, that they would, without any question and doubt, to do all they can as they serve together with their family, with their church family, and in their community. Father, I thank you for those who work here in our ministry. What a blessing it is to have a choir, to have those who help in the nursery, those who teach classes and work with the children, work on the church grounds. Lord, there's so many things that are done behind the scenes and some things that are seen where people see, but they all have great importance in their service for the Lord Jesus. I thank you for them and ask your blessings upon them. And the Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word here in just a few moments and the special music and update that will follow. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, that you'd give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Help me, Lord, today to be obedient unto thee and your word, Father, today. May I preach the word of God without apology, Father, but also at the same time within obedience and with compassion, concern, and care for those that are listening. Father, again, I pray that now that you would help those who will be coming to sing in just a moment. Brother Dave, as he gives the updates, Lord, that we would again just be fully in tune about decisions that we need to make. Help me, Father, as much as pastor with so much decisions I have to make, so many decisions of study and visiting and things that I do, Father, I want to make sure that I stay in tune, keep short accounts, and make sure that I'm doing the things, saying the things, and going to the places, handling things the way you would have me to do. So, Father, please, again, we ask you to do what only you can do, for we ask these things in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning. I will try to make a promise that this update will not be as scary as when I was up here singing earlier with the men. So we're going to be in Daniel chapter 12 this morning. We'll get there in a little bit, but just a reminder, Jesus commanded us to be watchful in these last days, and so we're going to take a look at some things to be watchful about. In August, when I was up here last time to do an update, I referenced the warning in 2 Timothy 3:1 that in the last days perilous times shall come. And indeed, the world is not only becoming more perilous, but I would say more chaotic and increasingly unstable. The European Union, for example, is facing an institutional crisis and a demographic crisis. To illustrate this, many demographers believe that Spain is projected to have 50% fewer Spaniards, ethnic Spaniards, every 35 years. That's how fast their population is declining. Russia, of course, is facing a strategic crisis and a demographic crisis as well that's being exacerbated by its war in Ukraine. And these trends going on in Russia, many strategic analysts are predicting, are going to eventually lead to a breakup of the Russian Federation. The Middle East, of course, is in a military and humanitarian crisis. And China, now you think Spain was a case of demographic decline. China has the fastest collapsing demography, not just in the world, but in human history. Today, at about 1.42 billion people, China has now become the second most populated country after India. The UN projects that by the end of the century, there may only be 800 million Chinese. And this situation will threaten China's continued existence as a unitary state. The crises in each of these regions have been spreading to other regions now as well, causing further destabilization. For example, many of the refugees from Syria's civil war have migrated to Europe, causing a tremendous increase in social tension throughout Europe, particularly Western Europe. And the rate of destabilization is accelerating, and there doesn't appear to be anything out there to arrest these trends. In fact, nothing like this level of international instability has been seen since the years just prior to World War II. And then now, in the midst of all this world instability, along comes a transformative and disruptive new technology. And I'm speaking, of course, of artificial intelligence, or AI. AI is growing exponentially in power and widespread use. In January of this year, Dr. Geoffrey Hinton, who is widely referred to as the godfather of AI, he said in an interview in London that he believes that AI has now achieved consciousness. Think about that. The McKinsey Global Institute estimates that AGI, artificial general intelligence, and I'll explain that in a little bit, that AGI could automate between 400 million and 800 million jobs worldwide by the year 2030. That's just around the corner. Okay? The RAND Corporation, which is one of the leading research institutes in the United States, they published a report just a couple of months ago. The report was entitled, How Artificial General Intelligence Could Affect the Rise and Fall of Nations. They define artificial general intelligence as, quote, powerful AI that can perform any intellectual task that a human can. And so AGI is the next step in this rapidly developing technology, which many predict will be here by the year 2026, just around the corner. In this report, they say that AGI will have, quote, profound implications for the United States, its position in the world order, and U.S. national security and economic strength. So significant geopolitical disruption is likely coming when AGI sets the stage for ASI, or artificial superintelligence, which is defined as the ability of machines to outperform humans in every field. A recent survey of AI experts shows that they believe that there is a 50% chance that machines automating all human tasks by the year 2047. These experts speak of an impending intelligence explosion, a moment when AI leads to such significant productivity gains that innovation exponentially accelerates across many domains. According to the RAND report, quote, the nation or entity that develops or controls such systems could fundamentally reshape the global order and potentially guide the future trajectory of humanity, end quote. And this is why, by the way, and that you don't hear a lot of reporting on this, but there is a desperate race between the United States and China to see who develops this technology first. Okay, that's going on as we speak. And now I would ask you to turn your attention to Daniel chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 4, Daniel 12, 4. And says this, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So, you know, there's several things that I think are worthy to note about this verse. First is that Daniel is instructed to shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And I believe that this is an indication that the true meaning of this prophecy will not be revealed until the end times or the time of the end. And I would say we are certainly getting more insight into what this verse means, and that in turn is a barometer of how close we're getting to the Lord's return. Second, we have this phrase, many shall run to and fro. Now, to the modern reader, this phrase is suggestive of the increased mobility that comes with modern transportation. However, I believe that in the context of Daniel 12:4, it's more likely that this phrase is actually referring to people searching the scriptures for God's prophetic truth. This is especially because this phrase is connected to the two phrases that precede it, shut up the words and seal the book. So the full meaning of this prophecy will not be revealed until the time of the end. And I believe that we've got a lot more insight now as to what this verse is trying to tell us. And so this brings us then to the third and final phrase that's in this verse, which I think is key to this whole verse. And knowledge shall be increased. Now, that's how it's translated in the King James Bible. Now, I find that to be a very interesting statement. Notice that it was not translated, knowledge shall increase, but it says knowledge shall be increased. You see, those are two different statements with two different meanings. To say that knowledge shall increase implies that knowledge will increase through natural processes or progress. And certainly, you know, there's a lot more scientific knowledge today than there ever has been. In fact, there probably are more scientists alive today than in any other previous era of history combined. However, the statement that knowledge shall be increased indicates that there is some external agency, someone or something, that is causing knowledge to increase. That phrase, knowledge shall be increased, comes from the Hebrew verhaba hadat, which literally means, and the knowledge shall be multiplied or increased. It's a hifl verb form, which indicates causative action. So thus, the passive phrase, shall be increased, captures the causative nuance of the hifl form, indicating that some external agency is causing the knowledge to be increased. And I believe it could very well be that artificial intelligence is the external agency that is causing knowledge to increase, that impending knowledge explosion that the experts are talking about. It's about to happen very soon. So I will leave you with this final thought. And I said this to the men in Sunday school this morning, but fear not tomorrow, because God is already there, you know. And if you become fearful, just read the end of this book, and you'll see we're on the winning side. So praise the Lord for that. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, yes, go right. That will cause many to run to and fro. Yeah, it's searching the scriptures. In other words, thinking and meditating on scripture and going through the scriptures to try to find what is the truth. And, you know, I think that we have to realize that as we get closer to the end times, and frankly, we're nearing the end of the end times, okay, more is being revealed to us. For example, I believe it's in Revelation where it talks about the Antichrist receiving a mortal wound, and everybody sees that. Okay, well, prior to the invention of television, that was not clear to people as to how could that be? How could the whole world see that? Okay, and, you know, even 20 years ago, artificial intelligence wasn't a thing. Okay, and yet here we are, and I can tell you already, it's transformed even the way I do my job. Okay, I'm training development manager at a security company, and I spend a lot of time putting together training videos that we do online for our staff. And what used to take me 5 days, I can now do in 1 day. Okay, because I'm using artificial intelligence to help create these videos. In fact, when people see me on screen, it's really not me, it's an avatar. Okay? And everything that you hear me say is whatever I typed into the program. Okay, it's happening. And so I think that we need to be prepared because this is coming next year, potentially artificial general intelligence. And it's going to affect society. It's going to cause dramatic changes in the workforce. There's going to be a social upheaval and certainly international upheaval. And so what I would say is this, you know, what that means for us as Christians is get busy, okay? Get busy for the Lord and maybe be introspective and look and say, you know, Lord, is there anything in my life that's hindering me from serving you? And help me, Lord, to get that out of my life. So stay close to the Lord. Be in his word every day. Be in prayer. And be here for every service that you can be here for. And invite your friends and neighbors. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your word and just how your truth is revealed to us. And Father, Jesus commanded us to be watchful And Father, help us to be watchful and never to be worried, but just watchful and just understanding, Lord, that the time is short and we need to be busy for you. And Father, I just pray that if there'd be anybody here today that is not assured that they have a home in heaven, Father, that they would get that settled today, because we know not when we'll hear that trumpet sound, when Jesus will call his church home to him. And now, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless the services which follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
I am not AI. I am the real thing. And I got to thinking about what they said this morning, and there's some time ago, and I'm going to be critical. I'm going to make fun of some other churches. If you don't like it, I don't apologize, but I'm just going to be honest. How close are the churches that have the pastor on the screen that you never see? How much closer are they than AI? And how long is it going to be before they're not even going to be on there, just going to be an avatar? How can you shepherd if you're not physically here? And that's exactly where we're at today in our world. I refuse to use AI. I use Google, and I do Google searches in my study, but I do not use AI. I read an article this past week, and it was from Christianity Report, and it was a letter written begging pastors to stop using AI to do their sermons. What else are you doing the rest of the week? If you're saving hours letting the computer write your sermon, what are you doing? How are you shepherding? Are you adding more services? Are you doing other things? Because if you're letting AI do it, you're not in the Word. And if you're not in the Word, you're going to grow dead on the vine. And so that is a great concern. And as Dave read that this morning, me sitting there thinking, I can't help but to think, we already have many people running to and fro looking for the truth. And sadly, some of those people that are running to and fro looking through the church sit in a church pew on Sunday because they're not getting it. They're not getting it, or they're not listening while they're there. And I think it's very important. So that was free. It wasn't even in my notes today. It just came across as Brother Smith. And we do not communicate what he's going to say. If there's something he has a question about, whether he should or not, he'll ask me. But other than that, he prepares and does as the Lord leads. And we know each other well enough that he has a concern. You know, he'll call me and we'll talk. But it's always encouraging when I hear firsthand myself of what he's going to be talking about.
All right, as I mentioned earlier, we kind of finished up a little bit of a section of a series in verse 4 and 5 on our Victorious Christian series, and we talked about the victorious Christian has faith in God. And before we go on to verse 6, I felt like the Lord directed me wanting to spend a little more time there, but with a little bit differently. Because see, I believe too many Christians live in spiritual defeat because of their lack of faith and their lack of obedience. So we'll spend today and maybe next Sunday with a few things that hope that'll help you before we go on to verse 6. And the aspect is the spiritually defeated Christian. Four reasons today of the spiritually defeated Christian. And we'll pick up and do a few more next week. But number one this morning, it's because the world becomes more important than eternity. See, when the world becomes more important than eternity, you cannot live a victorious Christian life. You're more concerned about the things of the world in the world than you are your spiritual walk. And so when the world becomes more important than your eternal home, you are in for a problem. You're in for big problems. And if I can draw any type of comparison, I know when I go on vacation, even though I may visit with my mom and dad or siblings or Michelle's parents or siblings, there's still at times after a while, I can't wait to get to my home. And dear friends, we need to be that homesick for heaven. We need to be more heavenly minded here in this world that we live in below. See, catering to a carnal crowd leads to serious compromise. We have too many carnal Christians. And sometimes I feel like that's an oxymoron, carnal Christianity. How can you be carnal and call yourself a Christian? Well, easily, because you're not right with God. If you're still living and have a carnal flesh and still feeding that flesh, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Are you saved to begin with? Or are you really living that wickedly as a believer? Because God will get you. I'm just warning you, God will correct you in His time. See, living an ungodly, immoral life results in devastating consequences that will rob you of your joy. It will destroy your credibility and your witness for Christ. And when you destroy your credibility and your witness for Christ, guess what? You can't be a godly example to your lost family. You can't be a godly example to your lost neighbors. You cannot be a godly example for those whom you work with or for if you've become that, if you find yourself there. You cannot live this way. Beloved, we as Christians are not to fit the mold of this world. We are to be distinctly different. We're to come out from among them, the Bible says, and be separate, saith the Lord. Paul said that, and be not conformed to this world in Romans 12, 2. A dedicated Christian does not mold or fit that mold of the world. We are not to seek the world's approval because we are new creatures in Christ that have our citizenship in heaven. While Michelle and I spent time on the mission field, there are so many things that I missed about America. And now moving here to Arizona, there are times there are things that I miss about the East Coast. I do at times miss the rolling green hills. I do miss the southern hospitality. I do. It's different. But then again, this is where God planted me. This is where I will bloom. But in that same aspect, we need to have some homesickness in some sense of what it's going to be like in heaven and can't wait to get there. Christians are pilgrims that are just passing through this world. We are to seek our Creator's approval, God and God alone, His approval. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, so there's no doubt that here that Peter is talking to other believers, those whom he cares about. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And then Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying here in reference to that word conversion, it literally means citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that's where we will be one day. But until then, we might as well accept the fact that we're heading that way. And we need to live that way, talk that way, act that way, no matter the circumstances. Again, I say, thank God this world is not our home. This world is not our final resting place, our final home. And if we're not careful as believers, we're going to become defeated. And that comes when the world becomes more important than eternity. Don't misunderstand me. Putting in a little plane, I'm excited about heaven,
But there are days I'm not ready to get on flight today. There are times there's a few other things I'd like to get done. I'd like to see accomplished. There's a few other family members I'd like to see to come to know the Lord. But still, I want to be heavenly minded and live a pattern of a life that reflects that in my friends and my neighbors. Number two, not only the world becomes more important than eternity for the carnal Christian or the defeated Christian, but number two, not willing to surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit's control. Not willing to surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit's control. I realize that can be a fearful thing for a new believer. I believe it can be a fearful thing for a carnal believer. But the bottom line is we need to understand and accept the fact that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And are we willing to yield our bodies, our mind, to the Holy Spirit? See, not willing to yield your life to Christ and His will for your life results in defeat. And defeated Christians are not victorious Christians. You see, a victorious Christian does not reject God's direction for their life. See, that's carnal Christianity. The carnal Christian wants to do it my way. The carnal Christian says, no, I don't care for that. I'll just take my toys and go home. No, but yet, as a believer, we should strive to know the mind of God, to be Spirit-filled, to be Spirit-led. And you cannot live a victorious Christian life. You cannot be an overcomer, as John says, if we're not yielding our lives, our hearts, our minds to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Yeah, we may go through the motions in the flesh, and maybe those who have some talents, but what we do for Christ should be through the power of God and His leading and His direction. Our reliance upon the Lord and His strength helps us to be victorious. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You see, God commands us to be Spirit-filled believers and be surrendered to Him. Now, I remember as a young boy, I remember as a teenager living at home, that there was rules in our home. And I was raised in such a way that I respected and honored those rules. Mom had rules and Dad had rules. And they had as mom and dad together. And what I'm referring to is I knew what they were, and there was no question whether I was going to obey it. There was no question whether I was going to honor my mom and dad. Yeah, there were times that I wanted to stretch it a little bit, but more likely than not, and in most situations, the consequences I found out wasn't worth testing the rules. And if we can do that as young people, if we can do that as teenagers, if we can do that as children, why can't we not do the same thing with the commands of God and allow Him to rule and reign the Holy Spirit in our lives? The Bible says, no, okay, I'm not going to do it. The Bible says, beware, okay, I'm going to beware. The Bible says, refrain. The Bible says, resist. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, the first part. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. See, the problem is too many Christians do not live a healthy, victorious life and are spiritually defeated because they're not willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. They're not willing to be submissive and submit themselves unto God and allowing a life as being Spirit controlled. Instead, they want to control things themselves. I have an illustration I want to share in reference to our daughter. Hopefully, it'll help understand this a little better in the aspect of the Holy Spirit. Our daughter Kayla was learning to ride a bike, and I think I've shared this example before, but hopefully in a different light. And she learned to ride a bike by just riding in a circle. And she couldn't stop. She could stop. She just didn't learn how or didn't exercise it. And she learned to ride in a circle because we were on the mission field that we had such a small front yard. The backyard was garden and other things. And so the front yard and the side yard was small. And we had a peach tree on one side and some other trees in the front. So she learned to ride in a circle. But the only problem with that is that every time she needed to stop, there was only two ways that she could stop. She either ran into somebody, usually her siblings, or she ran into the tree or the fence. That's the only way she could stop. And it took a long time before I let her get out and ride a bike on the road because the girl didn't know how to use her brakes. And here's the problem with many Christians. The Holy Spirit is giving us guidance and giving us breaks, but we don't use it. Instead, we run into things. We run into people. We run into objects. And that usually results in somebody being hurt, somebody being offended, or us being hurt or offended. And this principle, again, is true for Christians. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to stop doing wrong. But when we fail to use that power or learn about that power, we hurt others or we get hurt and eventually possibly into sin and into deeper trouble. I'm afraid the greatest tool that we have in our bag as believers is the leading, the guiding, and the direction of the Holy Spirit that we do not use. It's there, but we don't listen. I have hearing aids, and I wear them most of the time. Sometimes I wear them when I don't want to hear. So if you see me about my hearing aids, you may want to wonder, well, Pastor, I don't want to hear today. Maybe I don't want to hear you. Maybe I don't hear something. No, I'm just kidding. But when I don't hear something, or my wife thinks I do not hear, her first question is not, do I need to say that again, or did you hear me? The first question is, do you have your hearing aids on? Do you have your spiritual hearing aids on this morning? Are you putting on the whole armor of God, in a sense? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your life? As a believer, he indwells within us, but are we allowing him to guide us? Are we listening to the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit when he says no, to step back, step away, refrain, or to go away from there? Causes for the spiritually defeated Christian. The world becomes more important than eternity. Not willing to surrender our lives to the Spirit's control. And number three, not replacing sinful habits or activity with something good. Not replacing sinful habits or sinful activities with something good. See, if you make the decision to give up a bad habit or to give up sin, it is crucial to replace that habit or sinful activity with something that is good and productive. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Psalm 34 and verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I don't know how many times that I've canceled people in the past, especially during those 11, 12 years working with the military, when guys are wanting to give up habits, wanting to quit things they shouldn't be involved with, and I would encourage them to find something in its place. So those that quit smoking or quit dipping tobacco or whatever it is they're trying to give up, I said, put it out and put a New Testament in its place. Every time you reach for it, pull it out, read it. If you don't have time to read it that moment because you're driving down the road and you reach for it and it's there, put it back and thank God for what is there and what is not there, and ask him to help you with a craving. Ask him to help you as you drive on and to move forward. Replace it with something good. If you don't fill your voids, there is a tendency to return to that destructive habit or sin. Someone said an idle mind is a devil's workshop. There's a lot of truth to that statement. You see, Satan is good at filling our gaps. He will fill your mind with lies and false teaching if you do not fill it with the right thing, especially the truth. Jesus spoke about filling the vacuums as well in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43 through 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when it is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall be also this wicked generation. See, beloved, stay busy for the Lord and serving others. Fill your time with activities that will benefit you spiritually and bless others. The older I get, the more I understand why my dad always had chores, even if he had to make them up, even if he had to repeat them for me. When school was out, summer vacation, spring break, fall break, winter break, and dad was at work, instead of us laying around the house, he had jobs for us to do. And so often I would complain about it. He said, son, if you don't have something to do, you will get in trouble. And if you get in trouble, I've got to deal with you when I get home. And after a full day's work, son, I don't want to have to deal with you harshly. I would rather go out and throw the ball. I'd rather go ball practice. I'd rather grab the shotgun and the rifle, go down and have some target practice. But I don't want to have to deal with you. So here's what I need you to do. Basically, that was he was saying. He says that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You need to stay busy. And dear friends, if you're struggling with a sin and you need to replace it and you need to move it, let's replace it with something good. Let's put something in its place that will help you not to return and go back to that error that we struggle with. Fill your time with activities that will benefit you spiritually and will bless others. If you are discouraged or depressed, overcome your depression by helping others. If you have to break fellowship with a carnal Christian, and by the way, if you live here long enough on earth, you will have to do that. And sometimes it might even be family. But if you have to break fellowship with carnal Christians, then it is important to fill that void with godly friends that will help you spiritually. And dear friends, both acts are pleasing unto God. Breaking away from the carnality and filling it with something good, righteous, and holy. Fellowshipping with others that can help you grow spiritually, that will challenge you in your walk, in your preparation. Causes for the spiritually defeated Christian. The world becomes more important in eternity. They're not willing to surrender their lives to a spirit being spirit controlled. Not replacing sinful habits or activities with something good. And then lastly, no resolve to do right. No resolve to do right. See, Christians that live in spiritual defeat have not made up their minds to live for Christ. I used the example a few weeks ago. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right, do right, do right until the stars fall. In other words, always do right. It doesn't matter who's looking. It doesn't matter who's not looking. Just do right, speak right, and respond right. There are those that are still deciding if that is what they want to do. There are some Christians still struggling in that area. We need to make sure that we are not living in spiritual defeat. We need to make sure that we do all that we can because the pull of this world is very strong. See, these type of Christians are trying to serve two masters, which cannot be done. The gospel tells us you cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. It's one or the other. And I'm afraid too many Christians are doing too good of a job serving mammon than they are serving God. We need to make sure if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, we need to do all that we can in our service for the Lord Jesus to make sure that we're doing all that we can to not live a life that is defeated, that keeps us from being effective in our witness and witnessing to others. James called it this double-minded. See, we cannot serve two. A double-minded man in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. See, if you are going to be a victorious overcomer in a carnal world, and by the way, if you haven't realized it yet, we live in a carnal world. It is, and it's only going to wax worse and worse. You need to make up your mind right now that you are going to do what is right. Boy, I tell you, we live in a time today that it's so much different. I remember when I went off to college and the talk that I had with, especially with my dad, that mom and dad, mom wanted to make sure I had everything packed up, everything that I would possibly need. And I would imagine I only needed about 70% of what mom thought I would need for college. And probably the right answer was somewhere in the middle. And then I had the conversation with dad and he made sure the tank was filled up and made sure the insurance and everything was taken care of and told me not to worry about it. Had about a 900 mile drive when I first left for college. And I made my way. And then I see today some of the commercials we see on TV, how parents have to prepare their kids to go to college. Not to refrain from drugs. Here's something in case you do OD or your roommate does. We live in a different world. And that's why we as adults need to teach our kids, our grandkids, our nieces and nephews, you need to make up your decision now when sin comes knocking that you are going to refrain, that you are not going to partake. Because if you're going to live a victorious life, you need to make your choice now. Resist the devil and do not excuse or try to justify your sin. James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil, he will flee from you. We need to resolve to do what is right. Psalm 119 and verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. See, here we have a problem, and it's not in my notes, so I'm probably going to meddle. One of those examples just came to me, Brother Hunt. We all have caller ID on our phones. And I have in my phone every church member, to my knowledge, if you give me your number, I have it in. And when you call, it comes up. It not only has your name, but it'll say either Harvest or HBC. So I know it's somebody from the church. And we get a lot of spam calls. I probably get 50 to 90 a day, sometimes more than that. It's so distraction. That's why I often turn off my phone or put on silent and tell you if I don't answer the first call, text me, and I'll know it's important because it's just too much that comes through. But we have a little phrase, and I'm learning some things about our young people and the younger generation. How many know what, if I say, spill the tea? What does that mean? Spill the tea. Brother Austin? Exactly. It means, give me the info. Give me the good stuff. Spill the tea. I heard from some of my kids the other day, grandchildren, elementary school. Come on, Papa, spill the tea. Now, they weren't asking me the gossip because they haven't fully learned it. They just wanted me to tell. They think, and understand, that it means just to tell me what it is. Tell me. But it has more connotation into gossip and talking about other things. What if your phone rang and the caller ID said, spill the tea? It said gossip. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you would answer? How many of you would be the one making the call? Bottom line, it's sin. We can't walk in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. We're walking in the spirit of the flesh. And out of that, we need to make up our mind right now. When that comes knocking, I'm not answering. I'm not picking up. I'm just not going to do it. When that comes up face to face, I'm just not interested. But instead, too many people, because we're too curious. I grew up in a generation that said curiosity killed the... Well, we need to be careful. We need to be on guard. You can't be a thriving Christian and be victorious overcomer if we're allowing things to distract us or to pull us in. We have to make up our mind now. In fact, if the tea gets spilled, I'm not even sticking around to clean it up. I'm out of there just as soon as it tips. I'm gone. I'm not going to be a part of it. Again, Psalm 119 and verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Don't, again, wait until the temptation to decide what is right. Decide now. If you rationalize wrong and make excuses for evil behavior, you will struggle spiritually. Let me say that again. If you rationalize wrong and make excuses for evil behavior, you will struggle spiritually. I don't care if it's your child. I don't care if it's your grandchild. It doesn't matter. Respond biblically. Respond that which is right. Respond in the right way, no matter how it may sound or look, because you're going to stand for truth no matter what happens. Make up your mind now to do what is right when you are faced with temptation. It's hard. I know that it is, but you don't know. Well, Brother Cook, I don't know if I'll ever face that. Really? I've had to face some things in my life within my family. Not family that's here. Back east, because of things that did take place. I never thought I would have family members involved in homosexuality. I never thought I'd have family members that were involved in drugs. I never thought I would have family members that close that were alcoholics. But I had to make a decision before I realized it, that if this came about, this is what I would do and how I would handle it. In other words, I would flee from it. It's not allowed in my home. It will not be accepted in my home. And if I am somewhere and that thing enters there, that atmosphere, I'm hugging my mom and dad goodbye and I'm leaving. Because it's no different. We want to classify this sin and this sin, and somewhere there's something in the middle that may not be quite as bad. Not in God's eyes. I made the decision. Yes, I can love the sinner and hate the sin at the same time. But if I don't show that and reflect that I believe this is what the Bible teaches, this is what the Bible says, it doesn't matter if I agree with it, I'm just going to honor it and do the right thing. Let's look at a couple of things and we'll be finished this morning. Let's look at some spiritual references about good men who resolved to do right no matter what. In other words, these men, these young men, made up their mind before they were in this situation of what they were going to do, and they did it right. Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He made up his mind, went as far as saying, I'm sorry, but tell the king I can't. Can I have this instead? Then there's the three Hebrew boys that were with him in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18. At the threat of being burned alive for failure to worship an idol, these men said, no, we will not compromise. Daniel 3:8. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. No, we won't do it. We don't care how hot the furnace is. It doesn't matter the circumstances. We serve one God, the living God. We will not bow down to anything else. We will not commit spiritual adultery. We will only do that which is right. In other words, they had resolved to do right well before they were ever in that situation. Job chapter 23 and verse 11. My foot have held his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. Job, as you know, went through much, but he stood for what is right and he honored God. Peter and John, Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Wow. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. No, we won't budge. No, it doesn't matter. You can threaten whatever you're going to threaten, but we will not compromise. Dear friends, it's almost time to close, but you don't know how many times I've sat here waiting on the service. Music going by, enjoying the music, enjoying the update. I'll just enjoy myself, Bible in hand. Sometimes something will pop in my mind. I'll open my Bible, my notes, and I'll make a little note or add something in there. And there's also other times I'm sitting there and the old devil whispers, ooh, you know you're going to make so-and-so mad. Ooh, somebody might get offended. I promise you, when I'm preparing for a sermon, there are no names in mind that I'm preaching at. But there are sometimes some names that may be brought to my attention as I'm preparing. And the old devil likes to say, ooh, you better soften that up. You know how they get offended. So am I going to sit there and swallow really hard and say, I choose to honor God? Or am I going to get up and walk to the pulpit and figure out a way to sugarcoat it? Problem is today we've had too many pastors and too many churches that have done that. They softened it. They've sugarcoated it. They've backed off a little bit. In fact, they won't even stand in person to preach. Instead, they go via satellite or the TV. They're not even here personally. Why is that? Dave gave the example this morning where AI is going, where things are going. Dear friends, just because technology is advancing and going so fast, speed of light, we need to make sure that we're sticking to some traditional values of the Word of God. I'm all good for technology. I like that we have air conditioning. I like that you have padded pews. I like that there's a restroom in the back and I'm not looking for a path to run down to the old outhouse. I'm glad that I've got a place to park close to the building. I'm not against convenience, but I'm against compromise. I'm against softening the word. I'm against being careful of offending someone. Yes, sometimes it can be not what you say, but how you say it. I understand that. But with the world changing, we need to make sure that we're not getting caught up in it as a church, but also individually. Causes for spiritual defeated Christians. When the world becomes more important than eternity. When you're not willing to surrender your lives to become spirit-controlled. When you're not willing to replace sinful habits with things that are good and try to rely on the flesh to keep you or resist you. We need to make sure we're filling that void. And then lastly, as I mentioned, when we have no resolve to do right, or to do the right thing. Again, I'll read verse Acts 4 and then we're done. Verse 18 again. And they called them and commanded them to not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. The day is coming in our country The day is coming in other parts of the world. Freedom of speech is being taken away, and we're just a hop, skip, and a jump from hearing the same thing from the government. But Peter and John said, but we cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard. I will not compromise. Will we take a position? Will we strive to not be spiritually defeated Christians, but victorious Christians that are overcoming because of their faith in God and obedience unto Him? Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianist is making her way to the piano. Maybe here this morning the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way about your present spiritual condition. Are you living for Christ in the way you should? Is there room for improvement? Are you here today with many questions and not even sure if you're a Christian? Not sure if you would die today if you would go to heaven? Why not settle that first? But then, Christians, are you defeated? Are you overcomer? Are you struggling with some things that you need to give over to God? Are there some decisions you need to make right now? If this happens, this is what I'll do by the grace of God. I will not be brought in, sucked in. I will not compromise and be brought into the Lord. You need to make a decision now if you haven't already. But the Lord has spoken to your heart. Where you stand or here at an altar, do business with the Lord. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. I pray that you speak to the heart of your people, Christians this morning, and evaluate their life. Are they living a victorious Christian life, or are they spiritually defeated? If they're living a victorious Christian life, and it's praise God, Lord, help me to keep doing it. But if they're defeated and they're struggling, Lord, help them to be willing to turn those things over to you and make some decisions and allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to take reign of their life. Father, allow those that are here visiting, maybe that doesn't know where they would spend eternity, why not come today and give their life to Christ? Lord, bless. Work as only you can. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Some are at the altar praying already. Others may need to. But you be obedient unto the Lord. You allow the Lord to have free reign in your life. And you ask yourself the questions, Christians. Am I spirit controlled? Or am I only spirit controlled most of the time? Whatever it is that's in the way, make that decision. Lord, by the grace of God, help me to resist those things, to be more spirit-filled, and Lord, to be spirit-filled in all things, not just when it's convenient or not just when other church folks are around. Father, help us to make those good and right and holy decisions. Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. We'll close a public invitation. I'm always available if you'd like to talk. Also, Michelle as well, ladies. And I'll make my way with Michelle in the back in just a moment. But as always, remember that God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Good to have Brother Joel Donnelly with us this morning. Please be in prayer with him as they still have some things to take care of. The meeting in the morning there at the funeral home for final preparation. So pray for him. Pray for his family. Pray for peace and unity and working together as final decisions are made for the funeral coming up for Miss Christina. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back and we're prepared to meet people as we come in and out, so we do ask your blessings. And don't forget tonight, choir practice in the afternoon, and of course, our evening service, and we'll continue with our study. Do you really know what you believe about tonight? So I'm going to make my way to the back. I'm going to ask Brother Leonard if he'd lift his voice up and dismiss us in prayer.